Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Chapter 13, the book of Acts. Start reading on verse 38. Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe were justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest thou come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word that you left us to guide us and lead us in this life. We pray, dear Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of everyone that is here. If someone is not saved, I pray, Lord, you'd prick their hearts this morning. I pray for souls to get saved and Christians revived. And I thank you, Lord, for your word that is a living word. It's a lively word. I pray that you would continue to speak to us through this morning. And Lord, we pray for your will to be done. We pray above all that you would be magnified and lifted up and glorified, for only thou art worthy. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, the verse 40 and 41 really grabbed my attention this week as I was talking to some people, and I've been meditating on it. And I just felt like the Lord wanted me to preach from here, but I'll get to those points later on. First thing I want to do is I want to bring you to this point so we can understand what Paul is talking about and what's happening here in the book of Acts, chapter 13. And first I want to tell you that I have never seen in the scriptures anywhere where God quits on sinners. God is always after the sinner to repent of his sins and to come to him that they might be saved. Nevertheless, we see in the scriptures, and I'll give you a verse, but there's many, in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 3, he says that they have chosen their own way. And this is something that we see in life. You see it in your family members, in those that you talk to at work and in different places. Some of them, they just don't want to receive God's word. And they have chosen their own way. But I don't see God quitting on anybody. I see what the Lord does is that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we see here also that God wanted the Jewish people to be saved. This is exactly what Paul also said in the book of Romans, chapter 9 or 10, I forget, chapter 10, where he says that his prayer and his desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. He says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." And I want you to know that God also has the same desire. Because later on it says, and to Israel, he says, all the day long I have extended my hand. I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and gainsaying people. So we see here that all day long God wants somebody to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And we see also where God, you see him many places in the scriptures. You see him in the book of Luke, chapter 15, in the father of the prodigal son, after the son had left. You notice that God the Father, he's a picture of God the Father, he's standing there waiting for him to return. And when he returns, he sees him afar off, and he runs over to grab him and to hold him. He's extremely happy that he came back, but I want you to know that God didn't go and look for him out there in the pig pen. People make up their choices with what they want to do in life. And God's going to let you go even to the point, he says in the scriptures, that he will turn you over to a reprobate mind. But that's because this is your choice. This is what you have chosen. You don't want nothing to do with God. But I want you to know right here that God had given the Bible to the Jewish people. They're the ones that had kept it. All the prophets of old, they were all Jewish. They had been entrusted with the oracles of God, with the Ten Commandments, with all the ceremonial laws, the moral laws. They were supposed to keep it. And here it is, Jesus Christ comes in, He fulfills everything that needed to be fulfilled, and these people still don't believe. But I want you to know that God doesn't want them to go to hell as a nation. Even though we see in the scriptures over and over where many of the Jewish people got saved, especially at the beginning when Peter was preaching. But I want you to know that the case is very clearly made in the scriptures that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He was God. He is God. And He came and fulfilled, and people still reject Him. But I want you to know that God gave them three big warnings in the book of Acts. And I want to go through those. And the Apostle Paul is given the third one. But I want to bring you up on the other ones just because they're very significant. And the first one that you see in the Bible is in the book of Acts chapter 2. We see when this is when the church had just been born. The Spirit of God had just come upon the apostles. And they came out preaching. And the Bible says that Peter began to preach. And he used the Old Testament. Now, many people sometimes have told me, well, how come you all read the Old Testament? How come you all even use it? That's the Word of God. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to teach you, to instruct you, and to give you to supply you with all the things that you need. But we see also that Peter began to use the Old Testament, and he went to the book of Psalms chapter 16. And he began to give him the history of what had happened to Israel and how God had dealt with them through the history. And then he comes to the book of Psalm chapter 16, and he camps right there. And he makes a very good argument. He tells them, you know, over there in Psalm 16, he doesn't say that, but he's quoting from it. These guys know the scriptures. He doesn't have to give them verse and chapter and verse. They already know exactly what he's talking about. And he's telling them, you know, when he says that he will not suffer his Holy One to stay in hell, and that he will not suffer his Holy One to suffer corruption, he says, you thought that it was David, but that was Jesus he was talking about. Now he goes on and makes the argument. He says, you know, for David, we have his sepulcher right here. We have his grave. His body is right here. He suffered corruption. He's talking about Jesus Christ, and we are witnesses of this evidence. We are witnesses of his resurrection. We were there. We saw him. So, and when he's telling them that, he says, and this one, the one that you crucified, and the one that you hung on that cross, that God has made him Lord, and he has made him Christ. And they were pricked to the heart. The Bible says that 3,000 people got saved. They were being witnessed to and preached to from the scriptures. I want you to also know that when Peter began to speak, he was speaking to Jewish. He had a Jewish audience. Everybody that was there, the Bible says these were devout men, Jewish people that had come in from all over the world. A lot of them spoke in different languages. When Peter spoke, he spoke one language, but everybody understood him in their own language. Many times people like to say that they believe in tongues, but I want you to know that when he was speaking, everybody understood him in their own language. It was a miracle. That's why they said later on, but aren't these guys Galileans? And don't we hear them speak in our own tongue? You see, it wasn't the gibberish that you hear nowadays that nobody can understand, not even those that are speaking it, and they're trying to say that this is the Word of God. I want you to know that the Bible says that tongues will cease. That's what it says. And when Peter was talking, he was talking real plain, but it was a miracle of God. He tells you in Isaiah 28 that he would speak to these people with men of other tongues. It was a prophecy being fulfilled. But I want you to know that when he spoke, People got saved. And then the next warning shot comes from Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Now, he was a deacon and he was a preacher. He sounds like he was like a street preacher. He was bold as a lion, just like our preachers that we have in Mexico and in Poland. They do the same thing. And many of our brothers here who preach out on the street, they're just as bold. This guy was very bold to preach on the street. And he was preaching to them. And he was addressing the Jewish people. Because God didn't want them to go to hell. And he begins to go all through the Old Testament. He talks to them about David. He talks to them about Abraham and talks to them about the wilderness and all through the history of Israel. But he camps out with Moses. Instead of going through David and the resurrection, through Psalm 16, he decides to go through what Moses was saying in Deuteronomy 18:18. He was telling them, you know, Moses was the deliverer. He's the one that did all these miracles. He's the one that brought them out. He performed these miracles at the Red Sea. He performed miracles at the wilderness. And then he comes over here and he says in Deuteronomy 18:18, he says that God will raise unto them a prophet out of your own brethren, and he will be like unto me. Him will you listen. And then Stephen makes the point. He says, that's him. That was the one you crucified. That was him. He's the one that was at Mount Sinai. He's the one that gave us the lively oracles. He's the one that preached to us and gave us all these things. He's the one that talked to Moses. And he's the one that you crucified. He goes on to say, he says, but you have always resisted the Holy Spirit. He said, just like your fathers. And that really made them mad. But you know what that tells me? People's hearts have not changed. You know, growing up in my life, I'm 61 years old, and going through school, and just in many times in my life, I have seen many times people call somebody else all kinds of names. No fight. But tell them something about their mama. Or tell them something about their dad, and their fight is on. Well, that's what he did. He told them about their mama and their daddy. He said, yeah, you resisted the Spirit of God just like your fathers did. And they killed them. But you see, the thing is that he preached from the Word of God, and he was trying to show them, this is God Almighty, the one that was crucified. That was Jesus Christ. He is God. Now we come to the third warning, and this one is given by the Apostle Paul. And Paul, I want you to know that when he came here, first of all, he's preaching in all the synagogues. Everywhere he goes to the synagogues. Later on, he says, it was necessary for me to preach first to you, that the Jewish people would receive the Word of God first. That's what God had told him. He says, when you go, start first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then into the outermost parts. And exactly this is what Paul is doing. Even though Peter had already gone to the Gentiles in the book of Acts chapter 10, but Paul is still going to the Jewish people. He's bringing the gospel to them. And I want you to know what Paul did. When you hear and read the message that he brought out, and what it was in the synagogue. In other words, it was inside a church. And while he was there, they told him, brother, if you have anything to say, if you had you have a word of exhortation, please stand up and say on. And you know, that's exactly what we do here in this church. Not too many churches do that, but we also have open meetings. And the open meeting is for words of exhortation. This is where we get it. We get it from Scripture. This is exactly what they did in the Old Testament. This is what they did in the synagogues. That's why Paul was able to stand up and preach. But when he's preaching, something else that he did that I was noticing, he used what Stephen used, and he used what Peter used also. Which tells me one thing, preachers sometimes steal from somebody else. It's nothing new. Not only that, but he's using good arguments. Only thing is, Paul was there when they killed Stephen. And he saw the mistake that Stephen made. Stephen told them about their mom, about their dad. He said they were just a stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart, just like you. He didn't say that. He got smart. Nevertheless, he used the same verses. He went through what Peter had said, and he expounded unto them also about Psalm 16. He expounded unto them that this David, that it wasn't him, the one that was not left in hell. It wasn't him that would not be suffer corruption. He went on to explain to them in chapter 13. He said, we have his sepulcher here. He suffered corruption. You misunderstood the scriptures. That was Jesus Christ, the one they're talking about, and we are witnesses to this. He said the same thing as Peter. He used the same thing as Stephen. He went through the history of Israel just to teach them also exactly how they needed to be saved, not to reject the Lord. But I want you to know that they still rejected it. They didn't receive him. And Paul gives them a warning. And this warning is the one that I wanted to talk to you about because it is so important. What the Apostle Paul is saying here to the Jewish people. And of course, later on after this, he goes on to say it was necessary that you should first receive the word. They had already been warned 3 big times. Nevertheless, he still didn't quit. You find them later on still witnessing to the Jewish people. You find them later on telling the same thing, my hands are clean. I already told you. But I'm going to go now to the Gentiles. But here he told them also the same thing. I want you to know that God doesn't quit. He's always after you. But I want you to understand something here also. He wasn't talking to people out where you find a lot of vagrants, where you find people that are going through hard times and are homeless. He's not talking to people that never read the scripture. He's talking to somebody in the church, and yet they're being warned. He says, beware, lest it happen unto you what happened unto them. And he's using something extremely important on verse 40. He says, beware therefore, lest thou come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despise us and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. The Apostle Paul is quoting from Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. And isn't that amazing that he would use a verse that Habakkuk used when right before the invasion of the Assyrians? If you read what Habakkuk is talking about, he's warning the people. This was hundreds of years before. He's warning them, the Assyrians are coming. In other words, it was Nebuchadnezzar. He's the one that this was given right before the invasion. These people, the people of that time, in the times of Habakkuk, they weren't paying attention. They could care less. They were just wandering marvelously. That's what Habakkuk told them. They didn't care about it. And Paul is making the same application, the one that applied to them about the Assyrian invasion. He's applying it now to the invasion that's coming up very closely. The one that was going to be brought in by Titus in the year 70 AD. The Roman Titus, he was going to come in and do the same thing. And I want to tell you right now that we can also use it right now for the invasion that's coming. Also the destruction that's coming to this world. And it's going to be just like it was in the times of Habakkuk. Habakkuk had told them very plainly. He says it's going to be dreadful and it's going to be terrible. He says, and you don't care, you just wonder marvelously. You despise us and wonder and perish. And this is what Paul is talking about. He's using that verse, so I just want you to understand that we can use verses from the Old Testament and apply them right now because the Word of God is a lively oracle. It is a lively word. It never loses its power. It never loses it's always there. It shall never go away. It will never pass away. God has made it to be just as good to them as it is to us right now. And he's given them a strong, strong warning. Nebuchadnezzar is coming, and these people could care less. But you know, that's how the world has been all the time. All through history, if you read in the scriptures and read the history, and everything that's in the Bible has come to pass, except for the last things that are still coming up. But we see also that in the times of Noah, they were warned for a long, long time, for about 120 years by Noah. And the Bible said that these people could care less. It took them by surprise. Later on, they were trying to get on the boat. They couldn't get in. It was too late. The same thing with Sodom and Gomorrah. And we see through the scripture the same thing, like in the invasion of the Assyrians. It took them by surprise. Let me read to you what Jeremiah says in the book of Lamentation. While he was in prison, while he was in jail, he was lamenting over what had taken place. In Lamentation chapter 4, verse 12, I'll read it to you. He said, "The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem." They never would have believed. Nobody thought this could happen. You know why? Because they were thinking, how can it happen? This is the city of God, Jerusalem. This is also the building that God made. Didn't Solomon build it? Didn't the Lord told them to build it? Didn't he give us the blueprint? How can anybody come in and destroy it? They never would have thought. No king would have thought. That's what Jeremiah is lamenting. He says, nobody, no king, no inhabitant of the world would have ever thought that would have happened. And that's exactly what Paul is trying to tell them. He said, "You despisers, and wonder, and perish. You will not believe even though a man declare it unto you." And how is it that today is the same way? We talk to people all the time. They don't suspect. They don't care. They think that we will continue to live just as we are. They think that that we're very powerful, that we're very strong. They're relying on our military. They think that because we have more advanced technology, because we have the F-17, that the stealth fighter that can go in into enemy territory and not be detected, that we're so good. They think that because we have smart weapons that we can send them out and pinpoint the target and it'll hit it, that nobody can penetrate us. Nevertheless, 19 idiots came in here to America and they brought havoc to America. Only 19 uneducated camel jockeys, they came in here and caused us all kinds of trouble. God doesn't need to send smart bombs. All he needs to send is some dumb guy over here. And that's what he will do. The Lord also told these people during his times, he says, "These buildings, you think that they're so good," and he said, "not a single rock will be standing upon another." He was telling them, there's an invasion coming. The invasion of Titus. It's going to be a destruction. It's going to be terrible. People were getting killed all over the place. And that's exactly what's also going to come. The same verses that Paul used from long ago. He used them in his time, and we can definitely use them in this time. It still applies. We still have an invasion. We still have troubles ahead. It's called Jacob's trouble. Nevertheless, if you're not saved, it's also your trouble, because you will be here. Now, anybody who is saved right now, the Lord will come for us and he'll blow that trumpet. And we'll be out of here in the twinkling of an eye. And we will be out of here and we will not have to go through the tribulation. That's what the Bible tells you. That's why the Bible tells you to comfort yourself one another with these words. It's because it's comfortable to know that we won't go through this tribulation. This is Jacob's trouble. It's not the church's trouble. Amen. Nevertheless, if you're not saved, you will go through Jacob's trouble. You won't make it across. I guarantee you. The Bible says it. Because the Bible says that once you've heard the gospel, once you've heard the truth, and you rejected it, and if you're here this morning and you have rejected the Word of God, you have despised His Word, when that time comes, if you stay behind, the Bible tells us something extremely important. He says that God's going to send a strong delusion, that you might believe a lie, that you might be damned because you had no love for the truth. In other words, you heard the truth. You despised it. You didn't care for it. And now when the church is gone and you stay behind, here comes the Antichrist. Here comes the strong guy. He comes to destroy and to kill, and he's not bringing peace. And on top of that, God is sending His own plagues on this world, that most people will die. But He goes on to tell you that if you stay behind, there's no way you can make it. Because you already heard the gospel, you heard the truth. Now those who don't hear it, those who will be safe during the tribulation, the Bible says that there will be a company so great that no man can number. These people will be saved at the ministry of the 144,000, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They think that they're it, but they're not. The Bible says that these are all Jewish males, and they're all virgins. They've never had sex with anybody. These are all Jewish, 12,000 from every tribe. The Bible tells you. Now, these guys are going to be preaching. They're also going to be two preachers downtown Jerusalem. They're going to be preaching just like our preachers preach. But these guys are going to have a lot of power. They will be able to bring down fire from heaven. They'll be able to kill anybody that messes with them, except until the Antichrist comes and he kills them. These guys have never been killed. That's Elijah. The other one is John the Apostle. The Apostle was never killed. The disciples all believed that he would never die. But Jesus said, no, I didn't say that. I just said, what is it to you if he doesn't? But we see also that he was also told, John was also told in the book of Revelation, he says, eat this little book because you're going to have to preach to thousands of people, tongues, nations, and people. When did John do it? He's going to have to do it. So we know in the scriptures that when the time comes that he has to be one of them. There are several other places that I can show you. But I believe to me that it was John. But if you don't think so, that's okay. It doesn't really matter. The only thing that really matters is if you're saved or not. And this is what we're talking about. The Apostle Paul is witnessing to these people. And he's telling them. He's warning them. And all these prophecies have already come true. You ought to know, especially you that come here all the time, you know that we preach everything that's in the scriptures. We don't back down from anything. We don't change God's word. We just preach it what it says. And we preach it from cover to cover. But I want you to know that many times, and the reason I was thinking about these verses is because I had an opportunity to visit some relatives of mine Monday. It was a holiday. I'm usually working. My wife is usually working. During the week, I'm busy with other things and with the church and visitations and other things that I have to do. But I had a chance to go visit my relatives. I had already witnessed to every one of them. I had already talked to them about the Lord. I had brought some to church. Some even confessed to be saved. Some even got baptized. And now I go back. And it seems to me, what happened? Nobody's saved. They're back to the old religion. They're back to their works. They're back to their idols. I see them on their walls and the little things that they have there, those little Barbie dolls that they worship. And it just bothered me so much. I've got a cousin that is dying of cancer. They send them home just to die. They call it hospice. I'm sure you've heard that word. When there's no more hope, they send you home. I've witnessed to him. He's in Louisiana. I wish I had time to run over there and go talk to him, but I don't. I pray for him that the Lord will send somebody else to go talk to him. But I have talked to him, and nobody calls me. There's nobody that's a Christian in my side of the family. And it just bothered me. And the Bible says here, he says, though a man declare it unto you, you shall in no wise believe. And many times I think of this church. How many are here that have heard the Word of God, and they have heard it, and they still don't believe? You have despised it. And when you reject it, when you say, well, that's for them, I don't want to humble myself. I don't want to kneel down to a Savior. I don't want to be under authority of somebody else. I'm my own man. You're not saved. You're rejecting God's Word. You're despising it. But I want you to know, my friend, God's used to that. He's used to being despised. He was despised when He came to this world. The Bible says that He was despised and rejected of men, it tells you in Isaiah 53. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus. But I want you to know that it still happens today. There's many people that reject the Lord. They want to know, I want to know first about the Trinity. Last night a sister called me to ask me, how do I answer this person? I'm talking to somebody about the Trinity. And I said, you know what, I can give you verses, and I gave her verses, but I told her, you know, the main thing, ask him what does he think of Jesus. Because if he doesn't think that he's God, he's on his way to hell. That's what Jesus says. He says, if you don't believe that I'm He, you will die in your sins. So what's the use of knowing all the mysteries? You ain't going to understand it. You've been taught one and one and one is three, but the Bible says one and one and one equals one. The Bible says very plainly that God is only, there's only one God in the Old Testament. And we get to the New Testament, and He says, and these three, they're one. Now, how can you explain it to somebody who's trying to figure everything with his head? You can't figure it out. This is a mystery. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. Take that to the bank. God was manifest in the flesh. How are you going to examine that one or ignore that one? But that's exactly what the Bible says. But you know, the thing is that it also tells you in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy. You despise the Lord. People in the Old Testament, they died if they despised Moses' law. Something else without mercy. You know what that tells me? That people will die without mercy. Once you have died and you don't have Christ, don't expect mercy anymore. When you go to white throne judgment, there's not going to be excuses accepted. Now, there will be excuses given, because the Bible tells me so. Jesus said it on Matthew 7. He said, they're going to tell me on that day, but Lord, we did wonderful works. We cast out devils in your name. And He says, I never knew you. Amen. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Right. And how they get casted into the lake of fire. Right. No excuse accepted. You might despise the Lord right now and reject Him and do all you want to, but one day you will be judged without mercy. The only mercy you're going to get is while you're alive. This is the only time. God is a merciful God. And He doesn't want anyone to perish. But you know, the thing is that the Chaldeans were going to come in, and that's what Paul was talking about. And just like the Chaldeans came and they were dreadful and terrible, so will it be the next time. It will be sudden. There will be sudden destruction. When they holler and say, peace, peace, there is no peace. The Bible also tells us something else. He says He's coming as a thief in the night. That ought to give you a clue that when Jesus comes back, we're not going to expect it or suspect. He's going to catch people by surprise. Just like the Assyrians caught them by surprise. Just like Titus caught them by surprise. It's going to happen again the same way. He's going to catch people by surprise. Just like the storms that came in the times of Noah. It caught them by surprise. It caught the people at Sodom and Gomorrah. It caught them by surprise. God's not sending. He's sending you a warning already. He's telling you, I'm coming. I will return. And if MacArthur was able to return, how much more the Lord? MacArthur said, hey, I will return, and he did. But let me tell you something. Jesus, what he says, he never fails. He also says the word, behold, you despisers and wander and perish. You know, this is extremely bad. But he's telling them, you're going to perish. There's no, not going to be an excuse. He also, let me read to you verse 38. This is what I wanted to get to you also. Verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Amen. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He says, through this man. You know, also Peter also said in the book of Acts chapter 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only the name of Jesus. This is what the apostles preached. This is what Moses preached. This is what Peter preached. This is what Stephen was preaching. This is what Paul preaches. This is what all the apostles were preaching. That is only through Jesus. Also, the apostle Peter, he mentioned in Acts chapter 10, after he had gone and talked to the house of Cornelius, he says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. It is through him. To him give all the prophets witness. In other words, everybody in the Old Testament is testifying of Jesus Christ. How can these people not understand? The people in the synagogues, if anybody should have understood, it was them. They were masters at the Word of God. They were masters of the Old Testament. They didn't have to remember the New Testament. All they had was the Old. And the Apostle Peter, and then the Apostle Paul made it very plain, including with Stephen. They made it very plain. They used the Old Testament, and they told him, this is the only way you can get saved. But you know, he says also something, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. This is something that no man can do. To forgive you and justify you. If a man is forgiven, that means he was guilty. If a man is justified, he has no need for forgiveness. You know, in police work, if any policeman gets involved in a shooting, that incident is investigated by the police department, by the district attorney, the FBI comes in, and then they hand all their investigation to a grand jury. The grand jury or citizens from the state of, or rather from the city of San Antonio, and they will look at it, and if he was justified, they'll say, justified. He's just like he had never done it. He did not do anything wrong. In other words, he's justified. He's not charged in court. He doesn't have to go to court. You're being justified. But before you be justified in the courts of God, you first of all need to be forgiven. Verse 38 is for sinners. Verse 39 is for believers. It is through his name that you receive forgiveness of sins. In other words, you're guilty. If you would just admit that this morning, if you would say, Lord, I'm guilty. That's what I had to do 25 years ago. I'm guilty. I deserve to go to hell, and I still tell people the same story. I deserve to go to hell a million times. But it was because Jesus Christ forgave me of my sins. Amen. Now, once you're forgiven, then you come to verse 39, and now you're justified from all things. Justified is means like if you have never sinned before. That's why when you go to heaven, you go to heaven perfect. You go to heaven blameless. You go to heaven cleansed. All your sins are behind His back. Therefore, as the east is from the west, the Bible says that He will bury them in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered no more. You will be dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In other words, He was perfect, and that's why you're able to go, not because you're any good. You're a sinner, and you deserve to go to hell, but you need forgiveness. And God is willing and ready to give it to you. He says He has extended His hand to Israel all the day long. And He extends it to you also this day. That if you would just repent of your sins, right there where you are this morning, if you would just say, Lord, forgive me. I thought I could make it with my own goodness. And most people, the people that I had told, my family, I had already told them and told them, to the point that some of them even told me, please don't tell me no more. I'm tired of it. And I had to lay off. And that's why the Lord many times He says, I'll harden your heart. This is what you want to do. That's fine. I'll harden your heart. You have chosen your own ways. That's what He says in Isaiah. That's what many people do. But I want you to know that God extends His hand. And this morning His hand is extended, just like He has extended it to Israel all the day long. Not to righteous people, but to disobedient and gainsaying people. Just like you. Just like me. I was disobedient. I was gainsaying. I was terrible. But I repented of my sins. And the Lord saved my soul and changed my life. He can do it for you too this morning. This morning as you're sitting there, just tell Him to forgive you of your sins. The forgiveness comes when you realize that you're a sinner before God. For the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it also tells you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. It doesn't say he might. I'll think about it. I'll wait until you go to heaven to see if I'll allow you in or kick you out. No. Right now, He will come in your heart, and once He's in your heart, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's what He says in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 4. You will not get lost no more. He gives you His earnest. His Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. That's the down payment. You receive the Spirit of God, and you're sealed until the day of redemption. The day of redemption is when you die and you go straight to heaven. In other words, you don't die. You just pass from this life to the next. So this morning, take God at His word. It's later than what you think. Even though a man declare it unto you, you shall in no wise believe. I hope there's nobody here that you won't believe. Believe what God says. I've been just preaching to you what God says. And salvation is free. He gives it to anyone if they would just be brave enough to humble themselves. That's where the problem is. You need to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Amen. We're going to sing and open up the altar. 249.